This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Network. So Tom in Utah is on the air. You want to share with Eileen and me?
Well, I wanted to correct the story on the smallpox that everybody's believed. I hope nobody's offended when I tell them bed bugs was not the vector.
Oh.
Bed bugs cannot carry smallpox with any efficiency at all.
Mm-hmm.
Smallpox, like any other pathogen that affects the human animal, has to be packaged in fat, flesh, and plasma or blood and delivered to the recipient, literally in that package. We call it a fomite. So you can't move smallpox in a blanket, you can't move it in bed bugs, you can't move it in the air or contact. It has to be within flesh. So how do these people end up with smallpox? It wasn't the blankets. Blankets cannot, sustain the smallpox organism without the food.
Well, you're countering a lot of people in history.
You know what? I don't care. I don't care. The microscope never lies.
What was the carrier then, Tom, if it wasn't the bed bugs?
They were feeding the Native Americans the European cattle and pork that these people were not accustomed to dealing with.
But if back you're eating cattle and pork, what was that contaminated? If that was contaminated, then everybody else who was eating the European cattle and pork would have smallpox too.
Well, the Native Americans had not been exposed to cowpox, like the milkmaids. You know, when you're exposed over lifetime, the infants die, but the ones who survive, whose immune systems prevail, they develop an immunity, so they can handle it. It's like when we went to Hawaii, the same thing. We took European diseases that the people were immune to naturally, and we gave them the same product that we brought with us, and they got it through the flesh products that they consumed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The same thing with Typhoid Mary.
You know, there's actually, we're talking about two different things, cowpox and variola. There's two different species. One is Vaccinia, and that's what's in the vaccine. The Wyeth one, you know, is actually more related to syphilis. It's a spirochete. And then there's the variola. The variola is what we're talking about that's carried by the bed bug. And that's the true smallpox, the one that was the original disease that they tried to prevent with using cowpox that was from milkmaids that had syphilis, and they were, anyway, that's
a whole other
Tom, I mean, I've actually have tons of historical references to this, so we can agree to disagree.
I don't disagree with the microscope. Spent 10 years in front of that machine.
I know. I'm sure.
The microscope does not lie, but the guy behind the microscope and the guy behind the microscope, they become the liars. And as a consequence, nonsense goes out, and you never know the truth. It's
right.
Like Typhoid Mary.
That's talked about in immunization, the reality behind the myth, how based on your world view, how you view what's in that microscope, you could have a totally different interpretation of the phenomenon based
on
your... I
know. I spent 10 years behind that microscope.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really...
That's why I've turned over cases in the court, like the E. coli contamination of babies. They were blaming it on apple juice. What a piece of crap.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Elaine, well, thank you, Tom. Eileen.
Yeah. Hello.
Anyway, Elaine, give me a call. I paid the price in telling the truth in D.C. And I just go crazy with the nonsense that goes around.
I'm sure you paid a lot of price. You've been doing it for a long time. But if the bed bug you're saying caused it, were the bed
bugs? No, it doesn't. No, okay. Even Tom Cowan talks about it. A lot of insects have, you know, like the Anopheles mosquitoes. Many people will notice that is a cause of malaria. But look at all the people that live where these Anopheles mosquitoes are, and they get bites, and they're not, they don't come down with malaria because, like in Africa, they drink naturally a lot of tea that's part of their regular diet.
Quinine.
So, you know.
The mosquito is not the vector.
Okay.
I studied mosquitoes. See, that's the problem. When you actually got your hands on the problem, you see the facts. But the stories go out to promote industry, to promote the pharmaceutical industry.
The deer supposedly is the problem with ticks. The deer was not the problem with ticks. It was Plum Island that created, the West Nile virus and and infecting the vector insects with, the different bacterias. But they put out a propaganda that it was the deer that was the problem.
Yeah, and the Lyme, we have the whole Lyme thing, right. I get that, but certainly spiders. There's a brown recluse. There's black widows. There's snakes. There's scorpions, and there is something to their venom, on vulnerable populations.
Are you saying, Ingrid, that the bed bugs during that time, of the Indian invasion there? That the bed bugs had bitten the Europeans who were getting smallpox, and
everyone got smallpox and severe. For a lot of people, it was not an issue because in England they had out in the country where they had access to more fresh fruits and vegetables, and they weren't in confined spaces, and they had access to fresh water and that kind of thing. But one of the treatments for smallpox in the cities was, pretty much depriving them of oxygen, sunlight, they would put them, and dehydration. That was a huge, they had all kinds of, myths about illness and dehydration. They would be begging for a drink of water. And they even do that in the hospitals now.
Yeah, but I'm wondering the bed bugs that were in the blankets. Were they like blankets from people who had smallpox, and the bed bugs bit the people who had smallpox?
It was from the army.
Actually absorbed the smallpox, whatever it was, and then by putting these blankets in the Indians, these particular bed bugs then infected the Indians. Like today, 4 years ago, we had a big, bed bug infestation, however, we didn't have a smallpox infestation at the same time. So we're not getting smallpox from the bed bugs now. But at the time, do you think the bed bugs were biting Europeans who came down with bed bugs and then, came down with smallpox?
Okay. This is getting a little out there. Because Tom has a totally different experience. Just so you know, we went to the Okanagan and gave a talk. Well, Tenasket, Washington, and Walling's book had just come out in 1988. It was called Immunization, the Reality Behind the Myth. So in 1988, we went on a tour of the Inland Northwest. And we got to Tenasket, and the people were all really excited to share with us because they had a family that actually had smallpox, and the public health department was trying to suppress it. And yes, they were poor. They were vegetarian. They weren't eating any meat. This is Counters Tom's story, of course. And they were kind of like food stamp kind of people. It was a mother and her children, and they were doing this, you know, straw filled mattresses in a kind of abandoned cabin area. You know, anyway, it was out in the country, and they were poor. And I know the people in town, the hippies in town, they were using the Tenasket cooperative and, you know, getting them herbs and vitamin C, and, you know, they recovered fine, but they clearly had a bona fide case of smallpox and there were bed bugs involved. So, you know, I don't know what to tell Tom. They
Where
were
did
vegetarian.
The bed bugs get it from?
The people. They were, who knows? There weren't a bunch of pigs around, okay? So anyway, I'm going to cut you loose, Tom. I mean, we can go on and on. Everyone has a different theory. I just know that was a historically accurate thing that they would fumigate to clear up the smallpox issue. And they used formaldehyde. So, and then I know I have other stories of the past that, you know, this is one of the things that was fairly well known, and people knew that it wasn't easily transmissible from person to person without having a vector. So I don't know. We can always disagree. I just know that there's not just one or two people. There's several people that have written about this in history. So, you know, Dr. Charles Campbell is another one. So, and then Cash Asher and several. So, and yeah, we have a couple other callers. You want to take callers, Eileen?
Sure.
Okay, we have Chance in West Virginia.
Hello. Yes, hello, Ingrid. Hello, Eileen. Eileen, you mentioned something about you did some kind of death research. Is that correct?
Death?
Yes, but, earlier in the show.
About metaphysical research about the, you know, the transition that we all get to take. Yeah.
All right, Mrs. Donovan, I have a question for you, and I haven't told anybody of this for fear of the reaction I might get. Maybe I want to know if this sounds kind of familiar to you, if other people felt this way. I come from a small family, a mother, a father, a brother, and me, and they all passed on. Recently was my baby brother. Now, yeah, here's the funny thing. Maybe you can help me with this. Now, I have three pets. I have two boys and a girl, right? Just like my family, my, you know, real family who passed on. But here's the thing. I'm partial to the female for some reason. And I don't know how to put this in words, Mrs. Bannerman, but I'll try the best I can. I actually feel the presence and the spirit of my mother in the female. I know to some people that may sound strange. Have you ever run across that type of thing before in people?
Is it a female child you're talking about?
It's a pet.
A pet, an animal.
When I look in her eyes, I don't know how to explain it. I could feel the presence and the spirit of my mama, who passed away 7 years ago for some reason.
When was the pet born?
Oh, I don't know. I adopted these pets. I adopted the two boys and the girl. And the girl got to be going on 9 years old, 10 years old. But I actually sensed...
And the mother died before or after the pet was born?
The pet came into my life after my mama died.
Uh-huh.
And my mama died in 2014, June of 2014. And the female and the two boys came into my life after. And I actually...
I could say that according to my research on Madame Blavatsky, who was the head of the Theosophy Society. Mm-hmm. And then she did these seances, you know, and so let's say a person would come and want to engage with their late husband or something, and she would do these seances. But what she said ultimately is this, that the energy in the universe is just like neutral energy, and that the person who wanted to meet with the husband, you know, basically projected the husband's, you know, frequency, as it were. And so the energy then comported, the neutral energy of the cosmos comports into the frequency of the husband. So basically it's coming from you. So the thing is that you should just enjoy it.
Yeah, I know. See, I always thought this, Mrs. Nanneman. I said to myself, am I reading too much into this? Because I was extremely close to my mama. But you know what? As time went on and I looked in the female pet's eyes, I know I'm not reading anything into it. I don't know how to explain it. I could feel my mama's presence and her spirit through my female pet.
How about this? Okay. Mm-hmm. The reality of our ability to experience the earth, okay, the trees, the animals, the minerals, the rocks, okay? The reason we can experience the trees and the rocks and the animals and all is because we are synergetic with that. We are made up of the same, you know, frequency of the minerals, the people, you know, the animals, the trees and all that. That's why we're able to see the trees and everything. So let's say in this particular case that whether it be on an etheric level or a physical level or some sub-physical level or metaphysical level, that this animal, you know, happens to be, however you call it, etherically or whatever, sort of compatible with your mother's, etheric body, you know, and therefore you're getting that kind of symbiotic relationship going on there, that you feel that you are in touch with your mother. Why not?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it seems like it's. I don't know, for lack of a better word, telepathic or something. It's hard to explain this to people because they think you're nuts. They think you're talking to your pet or something. God knows what they think, you know?
Yeah.
But when I look in her eyes, I don't know how to explain it. I could feel the presence, like I said, the presence and the spirit of my departed mama.
I think you have to think of it on a more etheric level. You're actually, because animals are so innocent because they don't have that intellectual capacity that we do, and so you're kind of like maybe, you know, really moving into the etheric level of life. And that the etheric level is net. That etheric net is pretty wide, and between your desire to actually communicate with your mother, you know, and the etheric, you know, presence of the animal, you know, you've got something going on there. So, you know, I would say just believe in yourself and enjoy your relationship with your mother on that more subtle plane of reality.
I do. Thank you so very much, Mrs. Nanneman. Girls, God bless you now.
Okay, thank you, Chance. Yeah, you know, it's so easy to judge other people and what's, you know, going on in the world. And really, until you have your own unique experiences that defy, you know, the 3D world, you really can't judge. I never discount anyone's experience because, you know, everyone's experience is unique, and it shows us another, you know, it's, you know, we always say it's like the blind man feeling the elephant. There's all these blind men feeling the elephant, and they never see the whole elephant. So they think it's, like the ear, they think it's like the tail,
yeah.
And they're all just seeing the parts, and that's all that what humans do. We're just seeing a part of the whole picture. So we have Dave in New York. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Ingrid. Yes, I wanted to mention that the worst thing about having bed bugs is having bed bugs. But a friend of mine had them, and I saw the
Dave,
back of his
I'm
hand.
Need my heaters. I'm in New York if you need my heaters.
Oh, really? Great. Well, yeah. No, a friend of mine had them, and I saw the back of his hand one day, and he says, well, we have fleas, and these are and bed bugs. So I stood back 1 foot, you know, one step back, and a friend of mine told me, just use diatomaceous earth. So I gave him some. Yeah. And then he went and ordered some, and he had tried all kinds of sprays and everything. He spread this diatomaceous earth on his bed and came back in an hour, and there were dead bed bugs on there, even in the daytime. And he had a bad infestation, I'm sure, but he eradicated them in a matter of months.
Yeah.
Using diatomaceous earth attacks the exoskeletons.
That's
so I think
right.
It's very effective. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. No, I really appreciate that because I've recommended that a lot, too, and it really is helpful. And I know people that actually try to take it internally, and I don't recommend that. The clay is a whole other thing to take internally, but diatomaceous earth, you know, people would do that for, like, parasites inside their body.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more effective to do increase, you know, doing the clay, like Perrier talks about. That's actually much more friendly to the body. Diatomaceous, I know someone that got kind of screwed up from taking a little bit every single day for a year.
I do take some occasionally myself. Yeah, and I
it's
take activated charcoal or other things once in a while.
Yeah, but Dave, you don't take like, you know, half a teaspoon every day for a year.
No. No. I don't think it's necessary. Sensible.
What screwed them up? If they took it for a year, half a teaspoon a day, what was their symptoms ultimately, what did they experience that was negative?
We went to see my friend who's an iridologist, and she could see it was affecting her whole, believe it or not, her spiritual connection and etheric stuff and the beneficial flora in her body. I mean, it was affecting her microbiome adversely.
Really?
It was.
I really diatomaceous earth myself, you know, and clay, but that's the first time I've ever heard of this, you know.
Well, it was my friend Carol. She's actually you've heard of Dr. Robert Young.
Yeah.
She went down and worked at his clinic, and she was supposed to train all the naturopaths because she was really quite good as an iridologist. And so Linda went, and I was there at the time and witnessed it. And I don't remember all the things, but those were the main things. It was like screwing up her microbiome and something about her spiritual connection. And she was wondering. She had never seen that kind of thing and asked her what she did on a regular basis. And she said, yeah, I do every day I've been doing diatomaceous earth, like a half a teaspoon every day.
Now, was it the calcium? I mean, it's fossils. What's the minerals involved in diatomaceous earth?
You know, I believe it's silica. It's silica gel. The skeletons of the diatoms. Yeah.
Right. So it's silica.
I think it's the sharpness. You know, that it's
yes.
real small
yes.
particles, and it's like shards of glass to
right.
any kind of beneficial bacteria in your body or something. You know, I know it does that to the. I mean, don't get rid of the parasites for sure. But, you know, it's good to have, you know, a balance of microbes and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure on that, yeah. Right. Well, anyway, the heat, you know, the high heat got rid of all my little bed bugs. Very, very hot.
Yeah, but it killed all your plants or who knows if you had some gasoline or oil or food in the house. Well, it could do all that stuff, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so diatomaceous earth remedy. I mean, you spent how much money, Eileen?
I spent about, I don't know, $1,200 or $1,800 on the heaters, but now I have them, you know, so I lend them out, or I, you know, can do it again, whatever. But Diet for Spacious Earth, I have actually used to sell Diet for Spacious Earth, so I have plenty of Diet for Spacious Earth, and I have a pool that has Diet for Spacious Earth. But I had heard that Diet for Spacious Earth is, you know, good. You know, of course, the skeleton, you know, the thing what you're talking about. But I didn't think that my research showed that that was really the most optimum, you know, technology. That's why I went for the heat, because, you know, having bed bugs is like crazy.
Right? Yes, certainly.
Okay.
Hey, it was very interesting. You're talking about parasites, and you're talking about electrical signals in the body and things. There's this fellow I was listening to, Dr. Young, reveals graphene aluminum, yes, LNP capsids parasite in 4 vaccines. It was on BitChute. I just was looking up graphene. Been listening to the guy. He's one, yeah, of these guys who's saying there's no viruses. But the good thing about this guy is he's a scientist with a microscope, and he looks, and he has, yep, done a lot of analysis of blood, and I'm trying to understand what he's saying. I respect his perspective.
I do. I like him a lot. I in fact, I shared that with someone who is discounting the graphene oxide stuff. So anyway, I'm just...
Now, from a chemist's perspective, I haven't seen any real structural proof of graphene oxide. I mean, real, there's all kinds of chemistry and analytical chemistry that can be done. Now, graphene oxide is an odd molecule, and then there's a whole, it's a class of molecules. But I haven't,
right,
seen definitive proof of it, but I have seen, you know, that they do have these images, but these are just images, and they could be due to possibly other things, unless you have a full library of microscopic images of everything. Now, this fellow, Dr. Young, has looked a lot under a microscope, so I think he has a clue about this, is all I can say. But
right,
I would say that in terms of this idea of SARS-CoV-2 virus existing or not existing, and there is a scientific controversy now between top scientists. And so this is like unsettled, and there's been many times that this has happened in the past. And if you take a look at the Structure of Scientific Revolutions by Thomas Kuhn, he said, listen, there's a theory, and then there's anomalies, and you come with a new theory. And
right,
basically, I think in this case, we have a lot of people, Kaufman and those guys, who don't really address the evidence of that's given by, like, Dr. Richard Fleming, et cetera. And to prove a negative, they can't prove a negative very easily. I don't think logically you can. So I think there's a controversy going on here that's unclear what the solution is scientifically.
Well,
go ahead.
To me, the solution is for someone to grab their $1 million with substantive proof.
That's not a solution. The solution is there's a much bigger problem than a million dollar prize here that these people are going after. That's why Dr. Fleming is, yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, there's never been, to me, complete proof that some microscopic entity is causing someone else to get sick. You know, to me, it's always toxicology. And that's, you know, I always want to look at what's the toxicology that is causing some ailment. That's, to me, the common denominator. And most people are pretty toxic these days. But, you know, that's going to be where I stand. I'm pretty much sticking with toxicology. And Tom, you know, he totally is he talks about how we're being poisoned too. And I see it all around us. So that's why,
yeah,
I'm always in. Toxic and
that,
yeah, kind
but
of...
hold on, the whole thing, toxicology is one thing, but the fact is that my intuition, or wherever I've gotten it from and connected in my cosmos self here, is that this guy C.B. Lieber, who was arrested in March 2020, and I think he was arrested because he wanted to be pulled out of the inquiries that would happen, but anyway, he's from Harvard. And he was the professor and absolute head of any kind of research on nanowires, nanobots, you know, and nanotechnology. And it was like propagandized that he was arrested because he was dealing with China because of batteries. Now the thing is that that I think that the nanowires and nanobots and the nanotechnology, which basically I was pretty much the first one to like mention that, you know, in the world of scientists in the, actually my big orbit, you know, but that, that the nanowires are, that the graphene, that material has something to do with the nanotechnology and the nanowires and all that, and that this magnetic and electroporation and all this magnetic thing that's going on with people and the effect on the neurology and all that has nothing to do with toxicology, as it has to do with the field of electromagnetics.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very big thing that's going on here. This is very evil, I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I mean, I think it's reasonable to suspect strongly that there's graphene oxide there, but it hasn't structurally been proven yet. So the other thing I would say about this whole COVID disease is many of these doctors have observed a very unusual disease state. Something or some things have to be causing this. There must be a real cause, and this is something that has arisen recently and has not been there, having this sort of a blood disorder. So we have to look at the real data that exists. We can't brush it under the rug and say, oh, it's just because people are toxic. They've been toxic. They didn't suddenly get
right.
this
great
toxicity.
So we're getting commercial. He's breaking us up.
All right,
but
thanks.
I totally agree.
But I'm pretty
done. The spike protein.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Stay on food, Dave. Protein.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I just think you can't really get permanently affected unless you're injected.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk, real people, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Eileen, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and
Another caller. We have three callers lining up.
I just want to quickly say that I don't know about graphene oxide, but since graphene is just a single layer of carbon atoms connected to a hexagon pattern, it is also extremely thin and lightweight, and therefore an attractive material for nanotechnology. I believe that nanowires, nanotechnology, and all this that's in this particular vaccine, and maybe in the virus as well, you know, that graphene is part of the nanotechnology. So it's,
they had it on The Guardian, you know, was talking about this magneto protein, you know, in 2016, there's that article, that everyone's been circulating. So, yeah, there's tons of PubMed articles on this.
Okay, let's tell your next people so they don't get, end of the session.
So,
here.
James in Canada, welcome to Immunize Wisely and my guest Eileen Daneman. James?
Graphene oxide contains what are called free electrons. Those are electrons that are able to move around within the geometry of the graphene itself, like the full length of the graphene, however big it is. So they are a conductor. So you can excite them with an electromagnetic wave.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask, you guys are talking about the germ series, so I wanted to know, what about the Spanish influenza? They say that killed 50 million people plus. How did that one get spread?
They were vaccinated. I just read that. All of them who got the who died were vaccinated.
Okay, well, so that's all 50 million? All 50 million were vaccinated?
They were doing a lot of experimental vaccines. They were also testing Bayer aspirin. I don't know if you know that. Bayer just came out with their aspirin. They didn't know how much to give them. So, no, they weren't all vaccinated, actually. That's not quite true.
Yeah, I just saw that today. They said they were all vaccinated in America anyway.
My grandmother...
And then the soldiers went to, to Spain and wherever they went and infected everybody else, whatever.
Yeah. My grandmother was a nurse taking care of those that died in 1918 to 1919. She had just graduated from nursing college, and it haunted her for the rest of her life, and she very much believed in the germ theory, you see. And
right.
But,
I just wanted you to know I have a lot of stuff on the website on that. We have historical books on that, and maybe I'll talk about that the next show for a little bit, because...
Yeah.
I've written articles on it, and there's several aspects. The mustard gas was huge. That was the first time they did a biological weapon in World War One, and it was circulating the globe. So not everyone was vaccinated. Soldiers that went over there in World War One were vaccinated. The soldiers were, but not all the people were.
That mustard gas, I think, is a valid point, because that will cycle around the world. Because when you do the calculations, you find that one mole of any substance goes a very long way to pollute the atmosphere and the ocean. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
And the treatment was aspirin. It was that Bayer came out with their product, and the doctors were told this was the treatment. And they the people that died of hemorrhaging in the lungs. And liver failure, because they were the dose of, they didn't know what the correct dose was to the synthesized willow bark. So they were overdosed.
Yeah.
And that's where the homeopathic practitioners of the day didn't lose a single patient. They had to be suppressed, of course. And then, of course, there was the masking going on, depriving them of oxygen. And that was huge. Yeah. That's where our medical journal articles showed on the day that masking caused a lot of deaths because of the deprivation of oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it goes on and on. Yeah. I mean, there were several multi-pronged aspects, but we have a lot of that on our website, and it's elsewhere too. But thank you, okay. James. I appreciate that.
Great. Thanks. Yeah, bye now.
Okay, we have Andy in Texas. Hi,
Andy. Hey, how are you, sweetheart? I really appreciate your show. The one thing we can be... Well, absolutely. I mean, you're doing something for America right now. I mean, and you're putting your life on the line for it, because nowadays we never know what they have when somebody telling the truth. But the one thing we know for certain right now is that we're being killed, okay? And we're being coerced into taking a death jab. And even if you don't die right off the bat, that doesn't mean you're not going to die. But it does mean you're going to die sooner than you should have. I'm almost sure of that. And that graphene oxide, when they did the PCR test, remember they had to jab it way up your nose, touch your brain pretty much to figure out if you had it? Well, they did the PCR test on some meat. Mike Adams did it. A couple of other people did it. And they saw these little like glass particles left on the meat underneath the microscope and stuff. So we really don't know what they're up to right here, except for the fact we know they're killing us. And that's where I got to draw the line. I mean, my family is talking about getting my grandkids shot so they can go to school and all this other stuff. I can't talk them out of it. That's their business. But I did give them a stiff warning that you hurt my grandkids. There you go. But, I mean,
right.
we have to stand up to this. We cannot just lay down and watch this happen and talk about it. And so we can talk about, you know, 1918. We can talk about what's coming in the future. We can talk about everything. But what's really going on right now is they're killing us. They're getting rid. They're instincting the American people. They're instincting the world population. And I'm pretty sure these injections. I think they're race related. So a certain race is getting this one. A certain race is getting that one. But something's always puzzled me. Why does let's say a 12-year-old kid get the same injection that a 50-year-old man is 300 pounds. Why would we get the same dose?
Oh, as a baby, too. I mean, a little infant would get the same dose of a hepatitis B vaccine as an adult. It's not ever adjusted to weight. It's not. I think it's just heinous. But, yeah, you too, right, Eileen? On that bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we do have exemptions. And, you know what, I've known people, Andy, that have been to the school when they're saying you have to get all their shots, and just say, yeah, are you guys taking medical liability for my children should they suffer any kind of reaction? And they generally back down to say, you know, they've suffered some adverse reactions in the past, and nobody seemed to accept medical liability. The doctor wouldn't accept any responsibility. So I don't want them to get any unless someone's willing to accept medical liability. So if you sign this, that you're accepting this, you know, you create a letter that they're accepting medical liability and that, you know, if anything happens to them after the shot, you'll own their house or something. They'll get into school because they need that body.
Okay, so think about this. Think about this coming to America. Down in Australia, they separated a bunch of children from their families, took them into a stadium, and gave all these kids, various ages, gave them all vaccines, and three of them passed out right after they got the vaccine and whatnot. I don't know how many injuries there are. There's not a whole lot of story about that, but I did hear that was kind of an InfoWars click there that he was talking about. I mean, what if that comes to America? When will America stand up to this is my question. I know we're going to. We have to. But when will we do it? It can't be at the end.
Andy, I have to wonder because we have it different in every single state. And right now, today, there were huge protests throughout Europe, Switzerland, France, Germany got really beaten down by cops in the streets. You know, it's happening in Australia, New Zealand, and you probably realize that, according to Klaus Schwab, the big target is to take out a lot of the white people, and this is a whole critical race theory, is to take out a lot of the white people because they have been the inventive, creative thinkers for a long time. You know, I mean, they're also the fighters for freedom. They created our country. I mean, you know, just... this whole yeah. And so they wanted to have 50 the remaining population be 50% I hate to say Asian because Asian it doesn't describe Oriental. I mean, I'm, you know, it's more the Oriental. That's supposed to be a racist thing now to, you know, and I told my daughter, you know, squinty eyes. Well, what squinty eyes? You know, that's Japanese and Korean and Chinese, right? Not the the Filipinos or, you know, some of the Vietnamese and like that, right? But those people, they have, you know, I mean, obviously the CCP, they consider successful, right? And it's really horrible because there's a lot of wonderful people from all races, and you can't really pigeonhole anyone in a category today because, you know, they already proved it's, you know, nurture versus nature. Nurture prevails over nature. You know, it always does. No matter what race you're from, it's how you were raised, the nurturing aspect of how you're raised that brings out who you become. You know, aside from your soul, of course, the sole purpose of you coming in. But, you know, it's always been a tendency.
Yeah, but, you know, like, if you actually, like in Africa, with the different tribes in Africa all these many years, and if nurture, you know, is supreme over anything else, you know, the Africans in the tribes, you know, are really close families and you know, close villages and, you know, loving experiences like that. And the thing is with the English and the, you know, the Vikings and everybody else, you know, they created the guns, you know, they created the ships, they created the war machines. And so it has nothing to do with, you know, these ones that were nurtured in a wonderful way. You know, they became victims of those who created these war machines. That's why,
right.
That's why the white people, as it were, you know, became supreme because they were intelligent, quote unquote, enough to actually be supreme in war because it was all about, you know, who could take over who, you know. And then the fact is that as far as morality is concerned and lovingness is concerned, probably we could look to the African tribes individually as being much more nourishing. But unfortunately, the nourishment didn't lead to supremacy.
Well, everything's changed today. You know, I mean, obviously we're moving into a higher frequency, a higher consciousness, and everyone's, you know, coming to get into that, you know, like Weston A. Price Foundation, what is communicated in Wise Traditions and the whole homeschooling movement. And it generally crosses all races. You know, people want to have independent thought. There's a whole spiritual drive right now that literally crosses all races. Everyone wants pretty much the same thing, and we have a more modern world now. We just do. So, you know,
well, we don't really have much of a modern world with the Taliban. I mean, when you look at the Taliban,
I know. Well, yeah, we're not even going there. Let's
what?
Just don't even.
What?
It's so horrible. It's horrifying. It is horrifying. But I don't see that's going to be. Yeah, it is horrifying what's going on over there. Sorry, I don't mean to minimize it. It's pretty horrifying.
Hey. one last thing, ladies. One last thing, and I'll get off the hair here. Don't you feel like they're trying to separate us with all this poison they've been feeding us for years and years and years and years?
Yep.
Don't you feel like they're trying to separate us from our spiritual world? I mean, they're trying to get us all about human life. And they're actually giving us vaccines as though as if we're alien to this planet. I do believe I had a creator. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just mom and pops. It was the person who created them and so on and so forth till we got to the beginning. You see what I'm saying? But
no,
they're trying to take our spirituality out.
This is what the whole calcification of the pituitary and pineal glands are. You know, this is why adrenochrome is made from the pituitary and pineal. I mean, that's, you know, a special kind of adrenochrome for them. It's a high. But that's the spiritual connection is in the physical to, you know, the spiritual realm. You have more of a psychic connection. and that had to be minimized. And fluoride was a tool for that initially, as well as a lot of the other poisons. I know people that were actually pretty gifted and psychic, and then they actually had some job where they're exposed to a bunch of chemicals and lost it, you know, because it ends up, you know, screwing up those glands. So anyway, thank you, Andy. I'm going to go move on.
I want to mention to Andy, try to read The Eighth Sphere by Rudolf Steiner, Eighth Sphere, and know that what's behind Eighth all this sphere. Is that you know, Aramonic, luciferic energy that's trying to, you know, mineralize themselves to, you know, and the sicker we become and the greedier we become and the immoral we become, you know, our frequency is frequenting, you know, that satanic, Aramonic, luciferic vibration. And we're actually being hosts for that vibration. And that's why we can't even understand why these politicians are making such decisions, because they're hosts for this frequency.
This energy. That's all. Absolutely. Rudolf Steiner.
Thank you, ladies.
Yep.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you have to study Rudolf Steiner. So anyway,
we have
Pat in Texas. Thank you, Andy. We have Pat in Texas online.
Pat in Texas.
Yeah.
One of a Republican, like everybody wants to move there and Florida.
No, you don't want to come to Texas. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Two seasons. It's summer and winter. It's awful.
Oh, God. Thanks for coming.
But anyway, I wanted to say that I think you're right about the toxicity, that why some people just get worse off about everything. But and there are a lot of things. I think the high colonics work, you know, and a lot of different things that people don't do that they could do. That's real easy. You can buy your own Kalima board, you know, and you can do it yourself. I mean, I would recommend good water, but on and on. And I had a friend, and she said, don't talk to me about anything disease. I'll get it. And I thought, huh? Okay.
So you know, my number one tool to pull someone out of something serious is using my Kolima board, and I ozonate the water.
Ah, nice.
Ozonated
water?
It works
really good. It'll save anyone in a pinch.
Just buy the ozonated water, you ozonate your own.
I ozonate. That's why I was mentioning at the beginning of the show, you can get, for less than $100, you can get a little ozonator. You could actually ozonate your own olive oil. It has all the attachments, and it was Jeff in Idaho that turned me on to the ozone thing I have. I have it hanging on the wall in the bathroom, and when I want to ozonate a water for a Kolima, I do that. But I've saved several people's lives with my Kolima setup.
Excellent.
Well, I do believe that how they're killing most people here is depriving them of oxygen. And it's so simple. It's so simple. I mean, we could even get stuff and make oxygen out of the air. But you know what? They actually were some guy gave about 90,000 COVID patients ivermectin, and oh gosh, that was the most worst thing you could do. The way I look at it is this: whatever they're taking away that makes you well, that tells you their motive. They take away what will make you well, you know their motive, and that ought to be enough for people to see, but they're not seeing it. But I was going to tell you about my friend. I started watching how she was eating, and she said, God told me to get all this stuff and bring you half of it. Okay. I said, okay. And so I said, well, the pears have been in the refrigerator. They're ready to eat. Well, she let her watch. She didn't even eat them at all. And then it was ham. Sorry, Tom. And she didn't eat any of that stuff. She was so afraid of everything that she didn't eat right.
Right. Yeah, Pat is exactly right. People are fearful and they're victims. People want to be a victim instead of being empowered and taking responsibility for their health and their experience here on the planet. I mean, we came here with a purpose, and you need to tap into your soul and ask your angels for, you know, some direction. But you don't need to be a victim of fear or any of that.
I think she heard God, and I hated to lose her because she always knew when the earthquakes were coming. I said, oh, no, no, how are we going to know? But one thing, too, she dyed her hair. You don't do that. If you don't like your gray hair, bleach it. Bleach it and turn it yellow or red or white. It's different than gray. But if you put that dye in your hair, you're going to need a whole lot of vitamin C for quite a while. It causes cancer. They tell beauticians that. And so she did, and then she got an iPhone. Huge thing.
All that radiation. Well, thank you, Pat. We have another one. I just wanted to see if Marcus in Idaho. So thank you, Pat. I appreciate it. So we only have a little bit of time. So Marcus, do you have something you want to say to Eileen?
Yes, I'm pissed off about the whole thing. You know, changing your hair color is telling God that you don't love him, that you don't know him. That's one thing. You know, and it's like, we are here because God put us here. And we've got God on our side. And so if you are afraid of him, put on a mask. But if you're not, take off your mask. Don't take the shot and be a real person, because God has put his stamp on your life. He said, I know what your time is and when you're going to die. So if you're afraid of that, if you don't know that, then you're going to,
I agree. So. No, well, we totally agree. We're with you that we came here to serve, and, you know, to be afraid is just showing that, I mean, we need to give these people compassion. It's very difficult not to judge people these days. I think that's probably my biggest challenge, you know, but I want to be able to help people, and it's hard to know what to say to a masker. What do you say, Eileen? We only have a minute.
I actually don't talk to these people. you know, there's no sense of talking to these people. I mean, you know, even born-again Christians, it's hard for me to talk to born-again Christians as well. But I totally agree that that you know, that if you're resonating and you're aligned with the divine source of your creation, of who you are, what is there to fear when you're actually empowered by a direct connection, which Jesus basically, you know, taught us to, you know, all he said was go into your closet, you know, close your door. You know, follow me, I am the way. Go to the Father. You go to the divine source, you transcend. I do meditation, TM, for 40 years. You know, what's there to be afraid of if you're aligned with God?
Thank you, Eileen. You're right on. Everyone needs to find their connection. Yeah, I agree. That's the most important thing. Ask and you will receive. So, God bless you. Stay tuned. I do have some exciting guests next week. Thank you.
Take care. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Eileen.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.